Take your Bibles, please, and open them to Joel chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 28 through 32. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. Pivotal verse for what we're talking about here today. Give you a moment there, because Joel's probably not the easiest book in the Bible to find. You'll find that after Ezekiel, a few pages over. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. There the prophet Joel writes, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." These are very important verses to us as Seventh-day Adventists because we humbly recognize where we stand in the flow of history. We are standing on the very threshold of eternity. There's never been a time more important than right now to live in daily readiness for the coming of Jesus. This is a time when more than ever before we have this tremendous sense of mission because we have a world to reach for Jesus Christ. It is a job, it is a work, a mission that is far bigger than any one of us. And so it means that all of us, men and women and boys and girls, must work together. Good thing we don't go into it empty-handed, because God has promised us here to pour out His Spirit on men and women, boys and girls, so that together we can accomplish the mission that God has entrusted to us. And so today, I want to tell you the story of one woman's ministry, the story of Helen Stanton Williams. I have to admit that I am indebted to the research of Josephine Benton, who for many years served as a pastor on the staff of Sligo Seventh-day Adventist Church. The story begins in 1885 when Helen Stanton stepped onto the campus of Battle Creek College. With her snappy blue eyes and golden hair, she had a confident air about her. She took the campus by storm. She was 17 years old, and already she had a high school diploma and had been teaching for 2 years. She loved everything about Battle Creek College: the math classes, the English classes, the reading and writing classes. But the things she enjoyed most were her Bible classes and healthful living classes and personal evangelism classes. Those were the kinds of things that could really make her happy. Now, back in the 1880s, Adventist education was very expensive. Tuition cost 75 cents a week. A room in the dorm cost 50 cents. Her meals were $1.75 a week. Laundry was a flat $8.50 for the year. Textbooks ran somewhere between $3 and $7, and her contribution for the campus field budget was somewhere around $6.50 a year. And that was a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money for Seventh-day Adventist families in the 1880s. And so Helen went and got herself a job waiting on patients at the Battle Creek Sanitarium. There was a lady who would check in to the san from time to time for some R&R, and Helen and this lady became very good friends. Her name was Ellen White. Now, Helen was not only an attractive young lady, Helen had a flair for fashionable clothing, and one of her favorite dresses was made out of gray silk, and around the bottom of the skirt, there was a little miniature train set. Well, whenever she wore that dress on campus, it made heads turn. The president and the pastor and the teachers would all roll their eyes and say, "Oh, that dress is so over the top, so gaudy. Someone should really talk to her about that." Well, one day she wore the dress to work, and there was Ellen White. And Ellen White said, "Honey, take a turn around. I want to see your dress. And so as Helen turned around, she sucked in her breath because she knew the prophet was going to let her have it for wearing such a gaudy dress. And when she came back around, there was Ellen White all in smiles. And she said, "What a beautiful dress. My dear, you have such good taste." Well, Helen was not only a pretty face, and not only did she have a flair for fine fashion, she was a woman of substance. She was a woman who ran deep. She loved Jesus with all of her heart. And more than anything, she wanted to give herself to the ministry of the church. And so when she graduated 2 years later at the ripe old age of 19, George Butler gave her an opportunity to become a Bible worker for the Michigan Conference, and she jumped at the chance. A year or two later, she did the same thing in Indianapolis. And meanwhile, back in Michigan, there was a young pastor by the name of Eugene Williams. I mean, with his neatly combed dark hair and his full beard, he was considered the most eligible Adventist bachelor in all of Michigan. Well, the two had been good friends back in college days, and after they were through at school there, they wrote back and forth, and after a while, that friendship grew into love and a commitment to marriage. They were married in Montana, honeymooned in Yellowstone National Park, and when the honeymoon was over, they returned to Montana, where Eugene was already established as a pastor. Well, one day, the conference president came to visit. And he didn't want to talk with Eugene particularly, though they were on good terms. He came this time to talk with Helen. And he said, "You know, your husband is a very gifted man, but you need to know that God has given you gifts for ministry as well. And so what I've come to do today is ask if you will go over to the next town and conduct an evangelistic series." Well, Helen thought about it, and she decided that's what she would do. And night after night, she was in that community conducting evangelistic meetings. She was a powerful preacher. She shared with people the story of Jesus Christ and his love for them. She shared the story of salvation and invited people to embrace Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. She shared with them the beautiful truths of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and how they reflect upon a relationship with Jesus Christ. She was a powerful preacher, and at the same time, she had a very warm way with the people. And as a result, there were dozens of men and women and children who embraced Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, were baptized, and came into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Those days of ministry in Montana were particularly happy. But the best thing about it all was the birth of their firstborn son. And a few months later, they found themselves packing it all up and returning to Michigan, where Eugene was pastoring once again. There, Helen worked side by side with her husband, carrying on all kinds of ministry roles. And there she gave birth to two more boys. One thing about Eugene, though, was that he was particularly popular with the young people. And it seemed like he's always being called out of town to officiate at their weddings. And so while he was gone, what would Helen do? She just carry on. She did the preaching at the church. She visited people in their homes. She did the Bible studies. She took care of everything while her husband was away. Well, it so happened that people far and wide began to hear about this lady preacher and what powerful sermons she could preach. So one Sabbath morning, the conference president decided to check her out unannounced. He showed up for church, and he waited till everybody was in their place, and as they were singing the opening hymn, he slipped in and quietly took a place in the back row. He went through the whole worship service, and when it came time for Helen to preach, it didn't take very long before he began to say under his breath, "Wow, this lady can really preach." During the closing hymn, he snuck out of the church, and nobody knew he had been there. But the following week, he came to visit Eugene and Helen, and he said, "You know, last Sabbath, I came to visit. You probably didn't see me because I slipped in early, slipped out early, and they didn't know where this guy was going. They sucked in their breath, and then he said, 'Helen, God has given you amazing gifts for ministry, and with those gifts comes God's calling into ministry. So what I want to know is this, can we extend to you an invitation to get into full-time ministry? We will give you a ministerial license, and we will put you on the conference payroll.'" So what do you think Helen did? She went and hired herself a nanny to help take care of those boys, and she put herself into full-time ministry. Well, it didn't take long. It was a couple years later that they found themselves moving again, because Eugene was not only a gifted man with the young people, he was a gifted administrator. So he was asked to become the president of the North Michigan Mission. And while they were up there on the Northern Peninsula, he would be taking care of his administrative duties, and she would go from place to place preaching, doing evangelistic meetings, giving Bible studies, winning people for Jesus Christ. And the boys, oh, they had a wonderful time. They went to school, and when the summertime came around, they'd go scouting through the forest to see what wild animals they could find. They'd go swimming in the lake. They were healthy, happy, well-balanced boys, which is quite an accomplishment at any home, wouldn't you agree? But particularly so when both your parents are pastors serving in full-time ministry. Well, after a couple of years of working in North Michigan, they both took a call to the Chicago area, where Eugene pastored the West Side Church, and at the very same time, Helen pastored the Harvey Church. She did everything pastors do. She preached the Sabbath morning sermons. She visited people in their homes. She conducted evangelistic meetings. She gave Bible studies. She prepared people for baptism. She helped people to grow in Christ. You see, these were days when gender-inclusive ministry was a familiar thing in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Both men and women served the church as pastors. Both men and women served the church as evangelists. Both men and women served the church as conference administrators and departmental directors. Things were pretty equitable most of the time. One day, Helen went to visit the conference office, and there at the door to meet her was Pearl Halleck, the conference office secretary. She said to Helen, "We have got to talk." In a low voice, she ushered her into a quiet room where she shut the door so they could be alone, and the poor woman burst into tears. She said, I don't know what happened. Something terrible has happened. "What happened?" Helen said. "Well, all these years, you've been listed in the denominational yearbook as a licensed minister. And the other day, I went through the church yearbook, and you weren't there. You weren't anywhere to be found. This is terrible." Well, Helen said, "Well, let me ask you a few questions. Did you send my name in with all the rest?" "Yes, yes." "And am I still on the conference payroll?" "Of course, of course." "Then forget the old denominational yearbook," Helen said, "because if God has called me into this work, no man, no group of men can take me out of it. And if God has not called me into this work, then I need to find something else to do." In 1907, the family moved to South Africa, where Eugene became the mission president. And after getting the family settled in and giving birth to a fourth son, Helen began her work as a pastor of the Grahamtown Church. I mean, the people in South Africa just loved the Williams. Eugene had a wonderful way of organizing things. He had a wonderful way of bringing people together in God's service, and people adored him for that. But people loved Helen as well, because she had a wonderful way with people. She had a wonderful way of sharing Jesus with people. She was a powerful preacher. In fact, between the two of them, everybody knew it. She was a better preacher than he was, a more compelling preacher than he ever would ever think to be. And you know what? That was never a threat to Eugene. You want to know why? Because the two of them were secure in Christ. The two of them were secure in their marriage, and the two of them were secure in their place in ministry. Helen was a humble yet capable pastor. When she'd get to church on Sabbath morning, she would talk to the people about Jesus. She would open up her Bible and expound upon line and precept upon precept. She would keep very simple notes in front of her so that she could maintain good eye contact with the people. Her messages were compelling and went right to the heart of things. She was a much blessed and appreciated pastor there in Grahamstown. But 3 years into their experience there in South Africa, tragedy struck the young Williams family. Their two oldest boys were out coal portering. They were out selling Adventist books in a neighboring community, and Eugene decided to go out and visit them. So he got on his bicycle, and as he was pedaling down the road, he had a stroke and fell over dead. He was only 43 years old. And Helen, she was 42 years old, left with four boys ranging from 18 months to 18 years to raise all on her own. The General Conference sent her a letter, and tucked into that letter was a check for $500 to bring the family back home to the States. But in that letter, there was a note that said, if you want to stay, just keep the money. So she was very clear about her calling, very clear about her place in ministry. And you know what she did? She stayed. She continued her ministry there for the next 4 years. And when their mission term was over, she packed the boys up and they returned to the United States. They decided to live in the Washington, D.C. area because Helen had been offered a job to serve as the director of the Bible Worker Training Program at Washington Missionary College. And as she would teach the young people how to give Bible studies and to do soul winning, she was at the same time pastoring a neighboring church. Seemed like that's what she was always doing. And then in the middle of the school year, one of the religion professors got sick and could not finish out the year, so they offered her a position teaching in the religion department there at the college. She loved teaching. She was known as a tough teacher, but she was also known as a teacher who knew how to have fun with her students. At one point, she was teaching an academy Bible class, and she had all kinds of teenage boys in her class. There were three in particular. There was Donald Griggs and Arthur Walters and George Harding, normal teenage boys who would go on to accomplish great things for God. I mean, there was Donald Griggs became a noted cardiologist, and Arthur Walters became a much respected mortician, and George Harding, maybe you've heard his name, he went on to found a very fine Adventist hospital in Ohio. But at this point, normal teenage boys who like to have fun. And one day, Arthur got to the place he was cutting up so much in class that Helen had to say, come on up here. She invited him to the front of the classroom, gave him a chair to sit in right beside her desk, and she turned the whole thing around and said, you face the chalkboard for the rest of the period. With that, she jumped right back into her Bible lecture, and she was so intent on what she was communicating to her students that she was oblivious to what was going on beside her, because there was Arthur drawing smiley faces on the pocket of her red dress as she lectured away. And when she finally realized what had happened, she got a good laugh out of her wearable art. Well, Helen loved teaching. She taught there at the college and the academy for 5 wonderful years. And then she hit a rough spot in her life. The college hired somebody else to come in and teach her place there. And the only position they had to offer her was that of Dean of Women. Great job, great lady, but the problem was her gifts did not wire her well for that kind of ministry. So at the end of the year, she took a job teaching Bible at Melrose Sanitarium just outside of Boston. And that didn't go very well either. So a tired and defeated Helen decided it was time to pack it up and move on. So she went to live with her oldest son in Michigan. And after a lengthy period of rest, one day she was paid a visit by her second oldest son, Hugh, who was an ordained pastor in Indiana. And he said, Mama, I've been talking to the conference president, and I've got it all worked out. I want you to come work as a Bible worker, a Bible instructor in my evangelistic work. And she jumped at it. What a wonderful opportunity to work with her son. Helen loved her boys. She was so utterly proud of them. There was her oldest son, Irwin, who was a successful farmer and a talented musician living in Michigan. And Hugh, her second born, who was an ordained pastor in Indiana. There was Louis, who was an artist, and then there was Eugene, her youngest, who was a bit of a heartache to her. You see, he had not yet given his heart to Jesus. He was a student at Michigan State University, and he had no interest in getting an Adventist education. And Helen worried about this, and she prayed about it day after day. What could she do to encourage her youngest one to give his heart to Jesus and to enjoy the benefits of an Adventist education? And one day she got an idea. She said to herself, what if I were to move to another part of the country? What if I got a job somewhere near an Adventist college? I bet my boy would get homesick for mama and come running. And so a few years later, when there was the general conference session at Minneapolis, she found herself offered a job to minister in the Upper Columbia Conference up there in the Pacific Northwest. She took the job, and guess what? A few months later, Eugene came calling, moved in with her, enrolled at Walla Walla College, gave his heart to Jesus, and when he graduated from Walla Walla, he enrolled at Loma Linda, where he trained to become a medical doctor who gave his life in medical service for the people of God. Helen loved her work in Upper Columbia. She fulfilled so many ministerial roles as a pastor, evangelist, Bible worker. In fact, she organized some of the best ingathering campaigns they'd ever seen in that conference. She was a remarkably gifted woman who had a heart for people and a heart for engaging them with God. Life and ministry were not always easy for her. I mean, there were the licensing mix-ups and times she didn't get her paycheck. There were the times when the talent and job mix just didn't go well together. She lost her life companion, and she had her boys that she worried over and prayed about. But for 35 years, this remarkable woman gave herself to the ministry of the Seventh-day Adventist Church as a pastor, as an evangelist, as a Bible worker, as an educator. Amen. And then, 2 days before Christmas in 1940, Pastor Helen Stanton Williams fell asleep in Jesus. But you know what? For the Christian, death is not the end of the story, is it? Because we know on the resurrection morning when Jesus comes, he will awaken Helen Stanton Williams, and she will be surrounded by her boys and their wives and their children and their grandchildren. She'll be surrounded by the men and women and children that she won for Jesus Christ and raised up in the faith. But best of all will be when Jesus looks her right in the eye and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, I have told you this story today, not the typical kind of sermon that we have, but I've told you the story today for two reasons. Number one, I think we need a reminder that in God's work, we're all needed. Every one of us is God at place, men and women, boys and girls. God has said that in the last days, he will pour out his spirit on men and women, boys and girls, and call them to do a mighty work. Now, sometimes I think we are inclined to think that gender-inclusive ministry in the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a rather new thing. I'm here to tell you, it is not. Right from the beginning, many, many women have served right along with their male counterparts in the Seventh-day Adventist Church to serve as pastors and doctors and nurses and professors and all the leadership roles in the church. They have served as conference administrators and conference departmental directors. They have fulfilled almost all the roles of ministry that can be found in the church. This is not something new, but something that we have tragically lost along the way. And it seems to me, the closer we get to the coming of Jesus, the more we need to be a team, the more we need to be working together to get the good news out that we have a Savior who loves us, and he's coming to take us home. The second reason why I want to tell you this story is because I think it has a very personal application. You see, there are things about Helen Stanton Williams that need to be in place in each of our own lives. You see, Pastor Helen loved Jesus with all her heart. And that's the most important thing for you and me today, is to love Jesus with all our hearts, to know him, and to be growing in Jesus Christ. Helen Stanton Williams was also a woman who loved her family. And loving our families has never been more important than it is today. Our spouses, our children, our grandchildren. And Pastor Helen had a heart for ministry. A heart to raise up a generation of men and women and boys and girls who will stand on the threshold of eternity and live in readiness to go home when Jesus returns. God has given you gifts. Gifts for ministry. And with those gifts comes God's calling for ministry. With those gifts comes God's ordination for ministry. And with God, those gifts comes God's assurance you will be successful in that ministry. So, it's time to pick up the ball and get running. It's time to do something about those gifts that God has given to you. A few weeks ago, the Pacific Union Conference held a special constituency meeting to talk about widening the ministries of our church. A number of people made presentations, and then they opened up the floor for any of the delegates to speak. There was one woman who went to the microphone who said something I thought that was particularly profound. She said, "If this is a movement, then let's move it." I think the lady knew what she was talking about. This is a movement. That means it's time to get up out of our seats and get moving. God has given us a job. And with the empowerment of his Holy Spirit, we will get the job done together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege that is ours to be partners with you in ministry. And to know that every one of us, men, women, boys, girls, young, old, all of us are an essential part of the equation. Lord, when your love, your character is reflected upon this congregation and out into the community, people will see your love and be drawn here. And we just want to be part of that process. Continue to anoint us with your Spirit. Continue to empower us. Make us successful in this venture, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.